big question, is there anything holding the economy back?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is speaking this morning at an FDIC symposium looking at mortgages and finance. The Fed chairman says some mortgage holders may be in for a rough ride for some time to come.
With housing markets still weak, high levels of mortgage distress may well persist for some time to come.
Chairman Bernanke is speaking on the day we got a new report from the National Association for Business Economics, and their survey out today says economists have become much more cautious about growth going forward. Hugh Johnson is with Hugh Johnson Advisors. He's with us live from New York this morning. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. What are the markets? Let's talk about housing first and what the Fed chairman is talking about this morning at the FDIC conference. What are the markets looking to hear and about the housing market, and what can the Fed do about it?
There wasn't much expectation for what Chairman Bernanke was going to say about housing this morning. He did allude to housing or refer to housing. What the Federal Reserve can do about it that we know about right now is keep long-term interest rates in general, but mortgage rates in particular at a fairly low level, and hope that at a low level that'll start to stimulate some buying of homes. Right now, as he's quite right in saying, housing is very, very anemic, and they can certainly help by keeping long rates low, and they do plan to do that.
Anemic housing market. All right, so let's talk about this report then from the NABE about the nation's economy. Why has the recovery up to now anyway been so stagnant?
Well, I think it's been stagnant because we've had a lot to work our way through. I think number one at the top of the list is firms have not been confident that we're going to have a good recovery, and as a result, they have been very, very reluctant to hire. This report is a little more upbeat than I think has been mentioned. It's starting to talk about an improvement in demand, an improvement in profits. Prospects for employment are getting a little bit better. They're not great. The economy is just limping along. But basically, the report says even though the economy is just limping along, things are starting to get a little bit better. So that should be, I think, taken as fairly good news.
We're going to wrap it up there. Hugh Johnson from Hugh Johnson Advisors in New York. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are up 0.5% or more. Asian stocks mostly added value too today. Wall Street last week, the Dow and S&P tacked on 0.5%. The NASDAQ was down for the week about 0.5%. Iceland has a bold new international money-making plan, but after its last foray into the global marketplace, a financial system that went haywire, should the world be worried? Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Iceland does not intend getting into banking again, just as well. Those banks wound up owing about 10 times more than the whole Icelandic economy. No, the country now wants to turn itself into a haven for the digital age.
A haven for freedom of information, freedom of expression and speech.
Lawmaker Birgitta Jonsdottir.
What we are doing is putting together all the best laws so that one country can set the standard for how we in the future strengthen these rights.
Iceland wants people from around the world to set up their servers there and publish material online without the fear of ruinous lawsuits or censorship. Icelanders see this as a noble aim and a business opportunity.
A lot of companies will probably just want internet hosting services.
Smari McCarthy is also involved in the project.
Other organisations might have greater needs, such as actually operating offices from here as a way of protecting their employees.
He says the plan could turn Iceland into a refuge for whistleblowers and for anyone who wants to expose corporate or official abuses. But Alistair Mullis, Professor of Law at the University of East Anglia, says it'll more likely turn Iceland into a hotbed of libel and intrusiveness.
It will make it very difficult to sue people who are publishing defamatory material or material that's private when they are based in Iceland.
Another critic claims that Iceland will prove as reckless with reputations and with state secrets as it was with other people's money. But Smari McCarthy says Iceland merely wants to learn and profit from the disaster of its banking boom and bust.
This is a country that was badly burned by a strong urge by those who are in power and those who own everything to keep the general public uninformed about what they're up to.
Iceland's information haven could be up and running in a year. This is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
Thousands of New Zealanders have taken to the streets to demand that a couple of films in the Hobbit franchise continue filming in New Zealand. Peter Jackson's trilogy, Lord of the Rings, means a lot to the economy there, to the tune of as much as $1.5 billion. But now union demands have film execs threatening to make the sequels someplace else. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
Where do we want The Hobbit?
Some protesters turned up as characters from Lord of the Rings. Others carried placards reading, New Zealand is Middle-earth and we love Hobbits. They came to demand production of the new Hobbit films remain in their country. The New Zealand movie industry is worth more than $2 billion a year, and there are fears it could be severely damaged. A statement from the film's director, Peter Jackson, was read out to the crowd.
New Zealand is where the Hobbit films should be made. Their creative DNA is here. This is where Middle-earth was born, and this is where it should stay.
The protests coincide with the arrival of Warner Brothers executives, who've flown to the country for talks on Tuesday to determine the fate of the films. Even though the union has cancelled its strike, the studio says it's still considering other locations, like the UK. Neither the studio nor the government are disclosing what it will take to ensure the production stays in New Zealand, but filming wherever it is set to start in February. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The recession has a lot of people going back to school. They've just had enough of scraping by.
Not only what I do, but my husband, who's a carpenter, has had low work. And I just want to find something so we can be sustained.
I'm Kai Rizdal, aiming for the middle class in an hourglass economy. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.